Oh, welcome in to the last daily editorial of the day here on the KE Report. We're going to be talking about the craziness in terms of news from trade and what Jerome Powell had to say and what caused a lot of market volatility, choppiness today. I am chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. Chris, let's start off with Jerome Powell's comments. He made a statement that said that the Fed was soon to announce measures to add to the supply of reserves over time. He's not calling this flat out QE, but to me, this sounds very much like the Fed is getting ready for some sort of a QE program, something that you and I discussed yesterday, the balance between helicopters and cargo planes in terms of the amount of money that they might dump on the market. But what's your takeaway from this statement that, again, sounds like QE, but Powell's not saying it's a QE program?
Well, he's not saying officially that it is, but lots of us are kind of laughing at that, Corey. You know, it was the beginning of September when the Fed's balance sheet hit its low. Since that time, through last Wednesday, we'll see what happens this week when a fresh number comes out, their balance sheet had grown again by $184 billion in 4 weeks' time. So don't tell me you're not adding money to your balance sheet. Don't tell me that QE4, at least in a de facto way, has not started. It's not enough what he's doing. He tried to sugarcoat it. And some of his, I'll tell you what was scary a little bit, and well, I guess part scary and part funny, Corey, is that one of the hallmarks, at least when he started this job a year and a half ago, going on 2 years ago, really, I guess it'll be in February, as chairman, Powell was one of the simpler, more plain-spoken and matter-of-fact Fed chairman. It was pretty good. All of a sudden, he's throwing more words out there to tell you the same thing. You know, he's already morphed it, his press conferences in the recent past, into a version of Janet Yellen, where sometimes when a question is asked, he's got that deer in the headlights work and not a whole confidence. And the rate he's going, and this was a step toward it today in his talk in front of the NABE, won't be that much longer. We'll think we're listening to Greenspan again. It'll either confuse us or really put us to sleep, trying to add even more language and gobbledygook to, you know, what the Fed is doing. But the fact is, this plumbing problem that he told us at the last Fed meeting was only going to take a few days to fix and through the end of September is now going to be going through most of November. And God knows how much they're going to add to their balance sheet just based on that. He tried to distinguish between adding reserves to the system through these repo operations and a full-fledged buying a new of treasuries, which he said is coming. So, you know, he might as well just cut the BS and let the markets know, hey, whatever I got to print, however many cargo planes, we'll train more pilots. We'll get them all in the air if we have to.
Now, Chris, don't you think that Powell's almost change in narrative or just even his demeanor at these press conferences has a lot to do with really all these issues that maybe they have, maybe they haven't, but more or less blindsided him with all these trade talks and all that? When Powell first came in, he was on the road of slowly increasing rates. And it wasn't that long ago, just Christmas of last year, that he had to abruptly change that policy. And now it seems like he's just almost playing defense in terms of the questions he's asked and what he can actually control.
He's Dr. Frankenstein, an analogy I've used many times. It's his turn in that role and trying to keep acting in an orderly fashion and not out of control, the monster that the Fed created long before he got there. And by that, I mean he's hyper-leveraged and increasingly spoiled and sometimes schizophrenic markets. So, yeah, I mean, even when he started raising interest rates, when he got on the job, I said all along, as I hope you'll recall, when people would ask, well, what's the level that they're going to get at? How much is he going to take off the balance sheet? How much is he going to raise interest rates? He's going to do it until the market makes him stop. That simple. And the market made him stop. And the market has made him reverse course. For the market's sake, he is not doing it fast enough. And it's noteworthy that even though it came a little bit off its own highs at the end of the day, though it also went up because of trade reasons, you know, you had him coming out and, you know, not wanting to use the exact words, but admitting that the Fed is going to print more money and more still is going to come, and the dollar is higher on a day.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it? Just one more question, though, about how the Fed's balance sheet has expanded. You even mentioned by over $100 billion. From what I understand is that the repo market should be a very short-term injection of capital to free up that market, make it function properly, and then by the next day, it should all get cleared out. So where do you know where this over $100 billion has landed?
Well, that's what's supposed to happen, Corey, and that's one of the things that both Powell and some of the apologists for him have pointed out, that these overnight repo agreements, they're literally that, some of them overnight. You know, it's just a stopgap funding mechanism that literally doesn't last more than hours. But they've added to this whole thing, you've got 14-day variety, you've got 30-day variety. They've increased the duration. They've increased the amount of time. So I'm not smart enough to know what all of that means in the grand scheme of things, as far as how much of this is just reserves that's going to come away, how much of this is not going to stick with the Fed's balance sheet. But if this is all what some are trying to explain away, and what you just, you know, indicated in your question, then somebody at the next Fed meeting, assuming it's the same level or goes up even higher, should ask Powell, well, Mr. Chairman, you told us that this isn't quantitative easing. You're not calling it that. This is a plumbing operation, as you euphemistically put it at your last meeting. But now we've got, let's say it's a $280 billion increase in your balance statement. Where the hell did that come from? If this is temporary and short term, how did this get added to your balance statement? Because if this is a plumbing fix, if this is a repo operation, it shouldn't have anything to do with your balance sheet. It should be all part of your open market operations, and nobody ever sees that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Something there does need to be some sort of an explanation. And I think, or I hope, somebody will ask that question. Let's also look to what happened regarding trade. It almost seems like these trade talks between the U.S. and China haven't even started yet, but they're already breaking down pretty severely today. A couple news events cross the tape that is the U.S. upping their aggressiveness on China. And what do you think? Where are we left right now with these trade talks? Are they even going to happen?
Well, technically, they're underway right now. You've got some underlings that have supposedly been meeting. I believe it is Thursday that Vice Premier Liu and Trade Rep Lighthizer, Trump's point man, are supposed to meet. It is not going to shock me, and I might even have said this yesterday, if one side or the other walks away and they don't even get to Thursday. That remains to be seen. If I was China, I would be thinking about that, because the Trump administration in just the last 8 or 9 hours has utterly humiliated China in a variety of ways. And what's worse, and what's aggravating for all of us trying to figure out, you know, how to advise people on these things, how to manage your portfolio and so forth, is you had both the president and his chief economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, in just the last not much more than 24 hours, talk optimistically. Oh, yeah, deal's possible. It might be good. You know, Trump signing a deal with Japan. Yep, well, China could be good. I want a big deal, but who knows? You know, things might look up. And this stuff that we hear all the time. And then today, you had not one, but three announcements as the day went on that really were a gut punch if you're China. You know, these new two groups of companies added to the corporate blacklist that we had this morning. And then this afternoon, when the State Department comes out and announces that a whole bunch of Chinese officials are going to have visas restricted because of human rights violations in China. You know, I said several days ago, and including over this past weekend, that when all of a sudden the U.S. is willing to openly, and as many times as China has said to leave these things off the table and don't meddle in our business, when they're starting to trout out all of these human rights things and stuff. And I'm not saying we shouldn't. We should. But my point here is that this is an indication that whenever you hear Trump make a positive comment or Cudlow make a positive comment, they're trying to talk the stock market up a few points. They don't mean a damn word of this, apparently. Not that they should or shouldn't, but if this is where they're really going, then don't give us the smoke and mirrors. Don't play Lucy with the football and the markets are going to come up, try and kick the football, think there's a trade deal, and you pull it away time and again.
Now, do you think that they're doing this simply to just play the markets, just so we don't get a full-on collapse heading into a meeting again that now just has even more roadblocks ahead of it?
Well, I think, look, speaking for the president, the way he behaves, the extent anybody can have at least a halfway decent idea, and who knows, we don't have his unmatched wisdom, as I think he put it yesterday on the whole Syria pullout thing. But look, I think that he says these things. He trash talks opponents, including China. He tries to hold out an olive branch because he thinks he's the best deal maker that God ever put on his planet. And so when he says stuff like that, I don't think he's 100% insincere. Cudlow is just stupid. I mean, Cudlow has become brain dead, worse than he was before since he took his present job. But the president, I think that, you know, if he, in his heart of hearts, he would love to be a hero over this and reach a grand deal and go, you know, have his face on Mount Rushmore and all the rest of this stuff. But I don't know. It's getting tiresome to see this. I wish, and I think I've said this before, I wish there was a way that behind the scenes in some room someplace, you could see Trump's lips moving in front of a camera, but it's Steve Bannon or maybe Kyle Bass when he's got to be really tough talking, who both of whom are way more coherent and whose thoughts are a lot more together than are the president's.
All right. So, Chris, I guess to wrap it up, for investors out there, this really just further drives home the play into more safety, be defensive, don't expect these U.S. equity markets to go through a sustained major bounce. They can always get a bounce, who knows, this day or tomorrow or whatever it might be on some sort of news event, but it really does seem like everything is going in the be defensive with your portfolio.
Well, it is. And I have said for a while, as you know, that people should not expect any kind of a significant deal with China. We are going to see some people are using the term decoupling. I saw one commentary this afternoon from a major publication that said that these announcements today on a part of the U.S. mean that at the very least, we're going to continue with a separation, if not go to divorce proceedings. I've been saying for a while that this is not going to end. It is not going to end in a grand trade deal in harmony with China. What we are seeing play out is part of a process where there will be decoupling as part of the broader story of globalization in many other ways around the world being on the retreat. That is the big theme going forward, the U.S.-China new Cold War being but the most visible right now part of that, but it's not the only one.
Yeah, that is true. All right, Chris, we're going to wrap it up. There was some, yeah, very interesting news events today that are causing a lot of market volatility, and the two takeaways being don't expect there to be any significant trade deal between the U.S. and China, and watch for the Fed to just keep expanding its balance sheet, but not label it as QE. But I think we all are starting to understand the truth behind that. Chris, thanks for wrapping up today with us. Have a great rest of your day.